This is Top Floor Discussions. Spencer, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's get started.
Welcome, guys. This is our first new episode. Today, we'll be talking with Spencer. He's a Purdue student here at Purdue.
Really?
That was redundant. He's been involved with ROTC, and so we're going to be just diving into that a little bit. Simon and I don't have experience with that. I don't really even know what it is, so it'll be interesting exploring that. So, Simon, if you want to take it off, you got it.
Spencer.
Yes, sir.
Who are you?
Well, my name is Spencer. As mentioned twice, I go to Purdue, and I was invited here on this podcast by our two great hosts. So,
yep. And so we invited you on knowing that your first, was it 1 or 2 years here?
One semester.
You did ROTC with Purdue. Can
Correct.
You tell the audience what ROTC is and tell Winston because he doesn't know?
Yeah, clearly.
I totally know.
Absolutely. I would love to. So I was a part of Air Force ROTC. So all three of the military branches have their own ROTC program. ROTC is the typical Army one, but then there's Air Force ROTC or NROTC for the Navy. So there is a differentiation between those. And Air Force ROTC, I've heard a lot of thoughts from our different hosts before about what you guys think it is. And the best way to describe it is it's like going to Purdue as a normal student, but taking classes about the military because your goal is to be an officer. So the U.S. military commissions officers that have a bachelor degree. That's a minimum requirement to be an officer. So there's three routes to do that, and one of them happens to be through the ROTC route. So when doing that, you're getting your degree while completing military training, and by the time you graduate, you'll be a commissioned officer in the U.S. Air Force. So that's a four-year-long program that is 4 years of, I don't want to say sparsely, but moderately laid out military training. That for us, that's working out 2 times a week in the mornings. We only had one class my first semester, but then it's regularly 2 classes that are about military values or military tactics or leadership. And then there's a laboratory that's 2 hours long. It's at 5:30 in the morning, and it is a time, to say the least. But yeah, it's kind of hard to describe. It's a lot of almost like easing into the military in a lot of ways. It's getting your foot wet and then working up to being a full-blown commissioned officer by the end of your 4 years.
Mm-hmm. What does ROTC actually stand for?
Reserve Officer Training. And then the C, I think, is some weird thing. Like, I forget, but yeah.
So me as just an arbitrary other Purdue student, is there any way that you would liken your classes in ROTC to just normal classes, or is it pretty different?
I don't have a good comparison to any other Purdue classes. It's pretty different. To start, all of you guys like to complain about 7:30s. Ours routinely are at 6 or 5:30 in the morning, which in Air Force timing, you're always 15 minutes early because anything other than 15 minutes early is late. So really that's 5:15 and 5:45. So those are fun. Waking up at 4:45 was not my greatest achievement for all of the first semester or something I love doing all the time. But like you were asking, so does it compare to anything at Purdue class-wise? And the answer is no, because there's a stress to the environment that you're not going to get anywhere else. And by that, I mean it is all under military standard and under military instructors. So essentially, every time that you're in an ROTC class, you essentially are in a military environment or military training. So I'll kind of just go into some stuff because there's a lot to elaborate on that.
Absolutely.
So the reason I say it's a stressful environment is it's early in the morning. Like I said, that always adds stress to everybody's day. But it's an environment where you're the lowest on the totem pole and you're in military training. So you're constantly getting feedback, of which most of the time comes in the form of yelling, which isn't a bad thing at all. That's pretty great. But there's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of, as they would say, drinking from a fire hose of information. So routinely, there's a bunch of crap thrown at you, and you're hoping that some of it sticks and that you can kind of learn some stuff and get some feedback on the many mistakes you make. At least that's kind of what happens your first semester. But every time you're in an ROTC class, you're being graded. Instructors take a score of you as an individual, which is a large part of commissioning as an officer. So for me, I always wanted to be an Air Force pilot, as does most everybody else in the Air Force who's going to be an officer. So only officers are allowed to fly, and that means that most of the people who are in Air Force ROTC are hoping to be pilots one day. Getting to be a pilot is not sign up, here's the paper, you're going to go fly in 4 years. Being a pilot means you have to be the top third of your class, and if you're lucky and you get a good year, a third of your class will get pilot slots. So essentially that means there are X number of spots to be pilots in the Air Force training pipeline. And those spots get divvied out between the Air Force Academy, Air Force ROTC, and then another school called OTS, Officer Training School. That's a whole other thing. And then in order to be a pilot, you have to get one of those very coveted spots, which means coming in highly ranked because it's merit-based. So if you want to be a pilot, the only way to, quote, guarantee that is to be way top of your class, because those are the people that get first pick. And if you want to be pilot and you get first pick, well, then boom, there you go, you have it. If you wanted to be a pilot and you come middle of the pack and you get a bad year where only five people got pilot slots, guess what? You drew the short straw. That's life. You're going to commission as a different officer doing a different role. That's just kind of how it is. So what goes into that is the merit-based thing that I was talking about is a whole combination. So it's a whole essentially weights in a curriculum for a normal class. Same idea. You have the largest base, which is all on your moral character or just your character as a whole. So they say the whole character or whole body kind of idea of they're summing up how you are as a person. So over your 4 years of school, 70% of your overall grade or 60%, something like that, is based on what the instructors think of you as a person. And that's difficult because that's a score you don't really ever get back. At the end of the semester, you get what try, like what group of three you're in. So you can be upper third, middle third, or lower third of your class. And that's about all the information they'll give you.
Yeah. Do they demote you or give you demerits for being like a kiss up or like a...
No, so...
trying to make them like you?
Not really.
What would you do if you were an ROTC, Simon?
I would love to hear.
Man, I would try and get all that merit I could get.
Love it. I think just by wanting to get merit in that sense, it might tell you where you would rank.
Okay.
Probably bottom.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So the whole person concept, that's what it's called, the whole person concept, is largely centered around people who, I don't know if the right words are, but it's an individual that has the capacity to lead and to lead well. And to be a good leader encompasses a lot of good morals, like being humble, but also being bold in what you're saying and being able to take criticism, but also being willing to give it and to give feedback often. It means taking charge in difficult situations, and they grade how you act under stress. So when I say they're grading everything is at workouts, when it's dark out and it's 6:30 in the morning, they're looking around. If they see somebody who's standing up and volunteering and the one who's leading the pack when the workout's really tough and everybody's tired, they take note of that. If you're in class and you're slacking off and you're not really paying attention or you're nodding off, they take note of that. When you're at your two-hour lab at 5:15 in the morning, getting yelled at, marching around a drill floor, and you're in the back of the pack and you're kind of not paying a lot of attention and make some mistakes, they notice that. Because it goes up a ladder and there's direct people over you that take note of what you're doing, and that gets passed up a ladder. And essentially, there's no good way to fake it. So there's no good way to kiss it up, because you would have to do that for 4 years of trying to be a perfect person in that sense.
Mm.
So in that kind of performance that you're doing for the officers, is there standard kind of well-known, or is it like, what even am I trying to please them with, you know?
Yeah, so a lot of that comes through feedback. So I think we did like official feedbacks twice in my first semester, so once halfway through and once at the end, where essentially you get feedback from, oh boy, explaining the structure is a lot of information too, but I'll break it down into this. You do most of your stuff with the same group of people throughout a semester. So Purdue's Air Force ROTC department is 120 kids. So you break everybody down into groups of 10 to 12, roughly. They're called flights, and that's what you do most of your stuff throughout a semester with. And your flight are composed of two people who are your leaders. So you have your captain and your lieutenant, who are upperclassmen. So they're on their way to officially become officers, and they're leading your group. And then you have anywhere from 10 to 15 underclassmen who are all cadets. And essentially, in that role, like, the cadets all interact and we do a bunch of stuff together, and then there's a separation between upperclassmen. And us cadets give each other feedback. The upperclassmen in the cadet world, who are just sophomores, know what they went through their freshman year and the feedback they've received from people who've been above them. So you try and give feedback in that sense, and then you have rubrics eventually that you'll get in your official feedback that kind of give you where you're at in standards-wise. And those are things like knowledge, how you dress, like how well your uniform is prepared, how they rate you as a moral character and as a leader, and different things like that.
Okay.
What do you think about Top Gun?
Top Gun. Love it.
Like, okay, Tom Cruise in that movie, at first, he's super arrogant. But like, is that really realistic? Like, would they let him get in? You know what I'm saying?
I'll give you this. The movie Top Gun and Top Gun, nothing alike.
No!
Yeah. Oh, I hate to hear that.
It literally breaks my heart.
It really should. It really should. But no, it, so everybody likes to think being a fighter pilot in the Air Force is flying fast jets around and being Tom Cruise and playing sand volleyball shirtless with other dudes. Everybody loves that
it's
idea.
Not.
Sadly,
are you kidding me?
Nothing like that at all. So the thing I will say, is all the officers I met, so the instructors, like our teachers, our professors, are actually all actual officers in the military who are like put here, stationed here, like as their military job for 2 to 3 years. And every single one that I met, they were all incredibly humble people. They're all incredibly strong, incredibly good leaders, and just all around just awesome people. So the ones that get to do the awesome things tend to be really awesome people who know when to follow the rules and follow the rules. They're not arrogant. They're not doing dumb stuff, as happens in Top Gun. Realistically, if Tom Cruise did what he did in Top Gun, he would have been kicked out in the first week.
Okay.
Thank you for answering that important, pressing question.
You're welcome. Happy to.
I don't know if you have anything. I have another point to go on.
I have one, but it's a little tangential, so go ahead.
I don't know what that even means.
Like, it's not...
Okay, never mind.
It's not mainstream.
Drew, edit that out. So, for you, you only did it for a semester, and that's definitely a part of your story here at Purdue, but what is, I guess, where did that leave you, or, like... How did you feel about like finishing it or dropping out or stronger word, quitting it?
Like, yeah. I'll take a brief step back to hopefully give you some context for hopefully not too long of a next story. So a lot of people come into college not knowing what they want to do sometimes or hitting a crisis and kind of being like, oh, I really thought I wanted to do this thing and now I'm not really sure. The schooling sucks, whatever. Okay. I came in with the exact opposite thing. Since, I don't know, probably the age of 14, I've known exactly what I wanted to do. And that was to go be an Air Force jet pilot and to go be a test pilot someday. And I've known that's exactly what I've wanted to do for the longest time. That's been my dream. And Air Force ROTC was my way to do that. In fact, by doing Air Force ROTC, it roughly gave me a plan for what I knew the next 15 years of my life roughly would look like. Granted, if everything fell into place to be a pilot, but I came in knowing exactly that, so what my dream was and how to get there. And Air Force ROTC, I cannot say enough good things about. It was an awesome program. You're surrounded by a bunch of other people your age who are sharing the same dream and you're all excited about it. And it's difficult. I'll be honest in saying that early mornings sometimes are tough. Workouts sometimes are tough, especially when you're not sure that you want to wake up this morning and go do it. It's tough getting yelled at and it's tough getting criticism. None of us like taking criticism. And a lot of the military and a lot of ROTCs as a whole are getting criticism in ways that we don't like taking it. And that's tough. And it's a lot of early mornings, but it's also a lot of late nights. It's a long commitment and it's a lot of commitment. And again, you're surrounded by just amazing people in that, whether that's your instructors, whether that's the other cadets you're with, whether that's even just the people who support it from outside. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible community to be a part of. But it's also very isolated. It's very much its own tight-knit community because that's the reality of the environment you're in. It's not a lot of people share that same stress or that same schedule or that same atmosphere where you're surrounded by the same people for a semester. And that builds bonds that are truly incredible. So that aspect of it, I loved it. So like you mentioned, I eventually left ROTC at the end of my first semester, which was a decision that kind of surprised me. So like I said, I've known that I wanted to do Air Force ROTC for the longest time. I didn't really understand what ROTC was like. And if you couldn't tell by my random ramblings, it's very hard to explain in a short amount of time.
Yeah, sure.
If you gave me a whiteboard, I could probably draw it out, but we'd be here for like an hour and a half. So my very vague explanation of it, it is a program that not a lot of people know what to expect going in. And I think a lot of people are surprised, and a lot of the people you see quit are because it's just too much, especially for people who want to be an engineer or an engineering student. That time commitment and that commitment to that group is a lot, and it's a lot early on. But again, that wasn't exactly it. So my story of how I eventually dropped out of Air Force ROTC starts about halfway through my first semester, at which point I finally kind of settled into Air Force ROTC and am starting to somewhat maybe get the hang of it. It's hard to tell because you don't really know how well you're doing in the program until the end of the semester, which makes it a little tough. You get your mid-course feedback, so halfway through the semester that helps a little bit kind of gauge where you're at, but other than that, you're kind of just flying blind. And so halfway through the semester, had decided, like, I really love this program. This is what I love doing. And, like, I'm excited about it. I'm excited where this should lead looking ahead. And that gets me excited about it. And I remember one day walking back from class and kind of just being hit with a, like, this is a lot to do, Air Force ROTC. And I'm in my first year of engineering and my first year of Air Force ROTC, both of which are technically the easiest years of both, and this is a lot. And I remember walking back one day, and it was like, man, like, I'm headed back to my apartment building with a lot of friends that I have from church, and, like, I think I missed, it might have been, like, a Thursday night, and I had missed church or something because just the commitments from other things. And walking back, it was hard to, I guess, put myself in both worlds of, oh yeah, like, I just got done with this really long day with a lot of people I know in my ROTC program, and that was awesome. And now I kind of have to disconnect from that world to go join another one with another group of equally awesome friends that is just our church group, and it's very different. And I remember really missing out on the church group. So because of the time commitment to Air Force ROTC and trying to be a good student and being in engineering, probably 70 to 75% of my time was spent either in school studying for it or in Air Force ROTC things. And that's a lot of time. I remember hearing great stories about people in college who have time to go do fun things all the time and be with people and just do fun things. And I remember in a lot of ways missing out on a lot of those. And by those, I don't mean going out and partying or going out and running around campus late at night. By that, I mean, I was missing out on a lot of the things our church group got to do, and that hurt. So I am a Christian and was baptized my first semester here at college, which that was a story that was way before that, but the baptism would have to be scheduled for my first semester. And I remember around the same time that that happened, so that was early September, is when these thoughts of, oh yeah, like, I really want to get invested in this church group and with these people here. And I am realizing I really don't do that, especially like as a freshman, when it's time to invest and to really get to know these people well, like I'm really missing out on that, like a lot. And we just spawned in some ideas of like, what can I do to try and like connect better with the group that I know matters more to me in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so those were just some random thoughts walking back from class and it was whatever. But if you ever watched the movie Inception, ideas are dangerous things because they can grow. And over the next couple weeks, those ideas just kind of kept coming back of looking at the group that I was missing out a lot of my time with. Again, like missing the people and the connection, but most of all, missing the things that I was looking forward to most in college and the group I was going to be with, such as being at Bible studies and being at praise singings and being at church services and all the other stuff that comes outside of that. And realizing like the trajectory of what my college life is going to look like and my professional career is going to look like and what I imagine it'll look like being in my faith don't necessarily line up in the way I thought they would. It is not a natural thing to just have those two work perfectly together. Because obviously faith is a huge commitment, and that works well with service, which if you want to have a conversation about that, that's its own other thing. Yeah. But the worlds I was living in were very separate. And that was hard. So those initial ideas grew into, I don't know when it happened exactly, but I remember laying in bed one night and the thought hit me like, what happens if you leave Air Force ROTC? Like, not like, oh yeah, I'm going to leave, but like the random thought of like, what if that happened? Which again, taking a step back, this is leading to the job I've known I've wanted to do for years. This is literally my dream to go fly. And the more I've been in the program, the more excited it gets me about it. And it's literally like sitting here late at night at bed, literally like right out of a movie, staring at the ceiling. And it was like, what if I leave this program that I love pursuing the thing I love? And it was like, whoa, like absolutely not. That's not going to happen at all. It's like, all right, go to bed. But that thought kept coming back of like, what does it realistically look like if I leave behind Air Force RDC and like decide to drop out? And as I consider that more and more, it became more and more clear to me that that was a decision I wasn't going to make on my own. So I wanted other perspectives on it. So at the time I had an awesome mentor who was there to walk alongside me as a freshman as I try and figure out life, as all of us as freshmen probably do. And I remember struggling a lot with figuring out my purpose. So, like I said, like, I had known what I thought my purpose was, and it was pretty simple. It was to go fly jets and to be a test pilot and try and grow in my faith while doing that. And talking to him, we had a lot of great conversations about what it looks like to be a man of purpose and what it means to pursue purposeful things. And he shared I'm totally going to botch who it's by, but a sermon, I think, by Timothy Keller, if I remember right. It's all about direction and purpose and what does that look like in our lives. And as I was going through this great crisis of figuring out like what my identity is and what my purpose is, listen to the sermon that if you are just bored and have free time, highly recommend, that talks all about God's direction in our life. So walking into college, I had very much fallen onto the side of the road that believes that like God's purpose in our life and God's direction in our life is very cut and dry. It's very much like he'll lead us where we're going to go, and we will know exactly each step of the way. Like, God's just guiding every step, and everything we do, like, can't be wrong because it's perfectly led by God, and everything will happen just as he intends it perfectly to happen, which isn't exactly wrong, but it's a wrong way of thinking when you believe that everything's going to fall into place for you. And what I had so badly missed that Timothy Keller brings out so well is the paradoxical aspect of faith is exactly that. It's God being in control and being able to do exactly what he has planned, but doing it with people who are completely independent and free-willed. And understanding like that free will aspect of it, of it was never like, oh, I'm not controlling what I'm doing. But understanding, like, all the decisions were mine. like the decisions I were making, like, yes, there are decisions that are led by God and there are decisions influenced by him, but it's not every single thing. And it's not that we're going to not mess up either. So understanding this, I guess I don't want to say power, but like there is a part of my life and my story that is directly just influenced by me, and that those two come together. And that's the beauty of what walking in faith looks like. But it is these two paradoxical ideas, and trying to understand it from just one half doesn't really work.
So you expressed that you kind of had this idea of growing into your faith as you're also growing into this role in the military. Looking back at it now, you're out of the military. Do you think that you were able to grow in your faith well during the time that you were in ROTC? Or you feel like you've grown more outside of ROTC? What was ROTC's impact on your faith?
I'll say the biggest thing, which didn't like, it wasn't like a direct faith thing, but I look at it now in that way, is it teaches you a lot of discipline. That's the whole thing of being in the military. And we laugh, so I've known both our co-hosts here for a while. And we've had moments before where in typical military fashion, you can go to this thing called at parade rest or at attention, at which point you're not allowed to react and you're just sitting there
basically stone-faced.
Yep. And it kind of freaks you guys out, if I remember right, because it's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. I feel like I can just make anyone laugh, like, because I'm just so hilarious.
Anyway.
You're supposed to hit the laugh track. No, I'm kidding. No, but it's a fun trick.
Like that's part of the discipline. You learn that pretty early on, and that's just a small aspect of. That's like a physical thing. That's whatever. A little different. But the idea of waking up early every morning, the idea of choosing to do that, the idea of choosing to try and lead people and to stand up when everybody else is sitting down, that inspiration of leadership, which is, I think, the biggest thing that Air Force ROTC and all ROTCs are doing, is they're not building pilots. They're not building software engineers. They're not building yada, yada, yada. They're building leaders. That's what an officer is. And that's when I talked before, like, we all imagine fighter pilots are these people that just fly jets every single day and it's awesome. No, they're military leaders. They lead people first and foremost. That's their job. They get the privilege of flying a jet also, but their first role is leadership. And that's really what ROTC is about. And those are the most valuable lessons I learned from it, is leadership and learning how to take criticism and when to give feedback, and not necessarily criticism, but take feedback. And learning a lot about discipline. And those have carried over in a lot of ways now that I see in my life, of discipline in how we read the Bible, discipline in daily devotions, when it's tough, when it's early, when it's late, when we don't want to do them, gritting your teeth and saying, like, I'm going to do this because, like, I know this is what I need to do. And it also teaches you a lot about knowing your purpose. So the kids that drop out of Air Force RDC usually do so for two reasons. My kind of way, and then the other one is the people that are not fully on board, or the people that, like, they're just not ready for that commitment.
They're weak, basically.
No. Not that. But it teaches you a lot about discipline, and it teaches you a lot about how to step up as a leader. And those things are all aspects that I see now in my faith that came through that, even though I wouldn't say, like, directly I noticed them. Or have been like, oh yeah, like how my faith is growing and learning how to be a leader, or learning how to be a listener, or learning how to give feedback, or learning how to ask important questions. None of that is stuff I would have said, like, oh yeah, like this is growing my faith in the moment. I look back at it now and see that.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have just one more question before we finish off, but what was like your officers or captains, like, what was their reaction to when you told them that you were not going to continue?
It allows me to wrap up my story. Great. So long story short, I eventually decided to drop out of Air Force ROTC because all else, or above all else, it's not where I felt led to go, which walking away from your dream without what other people would see as like a probable reason or probable cause is very strange. of explaining to people I'm walking away because in my faith, like, this isn't adding to it and it's not growing it. It's ultimately me pursuing my own pursuits in a job, in a career. That's its own whole other thing. But eventually decided I was going to drop out. And that ultimately was a decision that was made in faith. And I remember being really nervous about it because, like I said, this was my dream and I was deciding to walk away from it. And it had nothing to do with any of like the worldly aspect of it. I loved the program and I loved what I was doing and I loved the people in it. I just simply don't think that's what I was led to do during this period of my life. And I remember making that decision to drop out. So at the end of the semester, I decommitted, dropped the classes for the following semester. And then one of my professors, so an instructor who would be an officer, she's like, give me a call. Like, you're going to drop out of the program, I told her. And she just wanted to have a quick phone call. She does it with every student that decides to drop out. So I'm sitting there in our living room back home on Christmas break and get this call from her. Absolutely awesome lady. She is incredible. And if you want to talk about officers with faith and people who represent their faith and are just amazing people, she's the example I would use in that. And she just sat down and had this phone call with me, at which, like, asked the basic questions, like, yeah, like, what have you thought about the program and why are you dropping out, yada, yada, yada. And we made it through all of that, and the last question was the one that's like, so ultimately, like, why are you deciding to leave? And explaining, like, this is a step of faith for me, and it's hard to explain it, but, like, elaborating that. So ultimately, like, it comes down to my faith, and this is what I believe, and this is where I'm at. And she sits down and kind of pauses for a second and then goes, like, I just want you to know I am 100% on board with that. I don't know what you'll hear from other people or even from other instructors, but like I 100% support that. And so she explained a little bit about her own faith and how that's worked in the military for her, but how like she doesn't expect that for everybody and had a lot of respect for the decision I was making, especially early on. So we actually ended up having this short conversation about kind of our faiths for a little minute. And then she kind of ended with that, like, don't ever look at this decision as like it's you failing or it's you, I don't know, not being able to cut it in the program. Like, ultimately, like, what you are no longer pursuing this program for is something that's better. Like, faith is more important than any career or any service we'll do for our country or anything like that. Yeah. So I don't know if that answered your original question, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Spencer. This was definitely enlightening to me. I think our conversation was profitable. It's really just pleasing to hear how it ended on a good note. That makes me really happy just for you and your experience. And just my appreciation for Purdue as a whole, that they were able to offer you that positive experience. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Spencer. And thanks, Winston. Thanks everyone for listening. We had a good time just recording this episode and we're looking forward to the next one.
Catch you later.
One last note. Topfloordiscussions@gmail.com is still alive. We'd love to hear your input as we work on more planning for future episodes. We are looking for more stories to tell, so if you have an idea of who might be a good guest on the episode, please send us an email. We always look forward to those comments.